How many points does a diamond have? You look at a drawing of a diamond. It's got 4 points, hasn't it? I want to talk to you tonight, friends, at the end of the service about Jesus Christ, the diamond. Because our beautiful Savior, our wonderful Redeemer, is the diamond. If you have your Bible there, go please to verse number 7 of Revelation chapter 4. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. We have these four descriptions of the Savior. Four depictions of the Savior. And reminds us of the 4 points of the diamond. Reminds us of how valuable he is. So as we come to this text of Scripture tonight, let's just bow in a short word of prayer. And pray for that eye salve of the Holy Spirit to be applied to our spiritual eyes tonight. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight with one desire: to magnify the Lord Jesus, to lift Him up, to glorify Him. And as He is magnified and lifted up and glorified, then we who are saved, we who are redeemed, we will be encouraged. We will be edified. And then those who are not saved, those who are lost, we thank you, Lord, that tonight they can be drawn to Him and come to know this wonderful Savior, the diamond of heaven, the Lord Jesus. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come and be our helper now. Pray, dear Father, that the Holy Ghost will come down into our little gathering tonight, that He will bless us, each one, as believers. And Lord, as we are blessed, that we will then in turn go and be a blessing to others, that we would be channels of blessing as we, Lord, would share what we have learned tonight. We pray, Father, that you'd fill our cup this evening, Lord. Cause our cup to run over. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First point of the diamond: the Lord Jesus is the lion. You notice what it says there. It says that the first beast was like a lion. Like a lion. The Lord Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And we're told that in chapter 5 and verse 5, if you just move into the next chapter, Revelation 5, verse 5, look what it says. And one of the elders saith unto me. Now here's one of the elders, one of the 24 individuals who has been worshipping the Lord Jesus in chapter 4. Remember, one of the people, like the dog licking the hand of the master. Now one of these 24 individuals, he comes to John. And John's weeping. Are you weeping tonight? Oh, you might be like myself, and you don't really weep outwardly very often, but inwardly. You see, you can do that too. You see, folks, there's tears of the eyes, but there's also tears of the heart. A lot of the Lord's dear people in these days, they're weeping, one or the other. It's tough going. It's tough for you perhaps tonight because of the home that you're going back to, I don't know, or the workplace that you're going to tomorrow, or whatever. Now, why do you think you're here tonight? I tell you why you're here. Listen to these two words: weep not. weep not. That's why the Lord brought you here tonight, believer. And that's his message to you, weep not. He's there to sustain you, to meet your every need. And eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that he has prepared for them that love him. I tell you, there's better up ahead for the child of God. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. Now, there it is. Jesus Christ, the Lion, has prevailed. We're thinking here about overcoming power. That's what the Lion really speaks to us of tonight. Overcoming power. Our Savior has overcome. He has prevailed. That word prevailed, actually, it's the word Nike that we know of today. You know, Nike, the sportswear manufacturer. Nike trainers, Nike sports clothing. Nike, we all know, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, know the symbol. Nike, that's the word in the Greek here, prevailed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath Niked. He's prevailed, he's conquered, he's overcome. Wasn't it Julius Caesar, the Roman emperor, who had the famous saying, Vini, Vidi, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Julius Caesar, JC. Tell you, there's another JC who can say that. He came, he saw, he conquered. It's not Julius Caesar, it's Jesus Christ. The Lion has prevailed. Want to be very specific here now, and there's so much I could say about the Lion prevailing. So much I could say about the victory that Jesus Christ has already won on our behalf. But let me just point out one area in which he has conquered, in which he has prevailed, folks. He has conquered over sin. He has prevailed over sin. He has overcome sin. Just think of his life, the life that he lived. What a life it was. A life that was unequaled. No one before him had lived such a life. No one since him has lived such a life. It was a life in which he overcame sin. He was spotless. He was without sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Listen to these words now. We shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by his life. A lot of folk think it's just the cross that saves us. It's the shed blood that saves us. And it is. But it's also the sinless life of Christ. It's the sinless life of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We're saved by his life, by his obedience. The obedience that he rendered to God that we could never render. Perfect obedience. He perfectly pleased the Father. And we know that because on three occasions the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Well pleased. God has never ever said that. God the Father has never ever said that about any person who has walked the face of this earth. But he said it about his Son. Pray for us on Friday because we're going out to tell people about him, about this amazing life. A lot of people struggling out there. A lot of broken people out there, I want to tell you. A lot of people who you don't have to tell them that they're sinful. You don't have to tell them that they're a failure. You don't have to tell them they deserve hell because they know it. The devil has told them 100 times. And then you know what happens, folks? They go to the Craigavon Bridge or the Foyle Bridge and they jump over. And just hearing about two young ladies who did jump over the bridge, but by the grace of God, they were rescued. Saved. I reckon we need to go out. We need to tell them. You know, a lot of people out there think that the church is a museum for saints. Oh, you people, you just go a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, and you look in the mirror and you admire yourselves. A museum for saints. We go forth on Friday because we want them to know that the church as it gathers is not a museum for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. A hospital for sinners. And we assemble together on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, Tuesday morning, Thursday evening, whenever the Lord brings us here to his house, we assemble as the church because we realize how broken we are apart from Christ. And by the way, just thinking about that verse today, Matthew 16:18, you remember the Savior's famous saying, "I will build my church." Do you know what actually means? That word church actually means assembly. That's the accurate rendering of it. I will build my assembly. And we love to assemble together. But it's not because we admire ourselves. I tell you, this preacher doesn't admire himself. He sees nothing in himself but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But then we're in the hospital, aren't we? The Savior's hospital. And we're here to adore him. And we're here to lick the Master's hand, aren't we? We're here to lick the pierced hand of our wonderful Savior. He overcame sin. He has prevailed. He has conquered. The lion has won the victory. He is clean, pure, sinless. The whole of creation is unclean. Have you ever read Job chapter 25? Turn with me to it there for a moment. Job 25. The book of Psalms. And then just the book before it, the book of Job chapter 25. Notice verse 5. "Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not." I was looking at the moon last night before I went to bed. Looked out through the window. There's a blood red color. You ever read the Bible verse that says, "Before the Lord returns, the moon will be turned to blood"? Didn't intend to say that. Just came to mind. Are you ready? Imagine if you came back before 8 o'clock. Wouldn't you be glad to be in his house? It'd be good if the trumpet sounded and we were here, wouldn't it? No better place to be. "Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm." Creation is unclean in his holy sight. The very moon and the stars tainted and stained by man's fall. It has affected what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. It has affected the entire universe. And man is the worst of all. He's the most unclean creature in the universe. But that's where the good news of the gospel and salvation comes in, that there's one, and he's the lion. and he's able to cleanse and he's able to save. The lion, that's the first point of the diamond tonight that we'd like to consider. Second point of the diamond, as it were, the calf. The Lord Jesus is compared to a calf here in Revelation 4 and verse 7. We're thinking now of a young bull. That's what it is literally in the original. That's what it's referring to. It's referring to a young bull, to an ox. It's a beast of burden. Cattle are beasts of burden, or in, at least in Bible times they were. The oxen, they carried the burden. Isn't it good, child of God, that you have someone you can take your burdens to tonight? To the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I hear you quoting it in the prayer meeting, folks. It's a good verse, isn't it? He bears the burdens of his people. It's good to let him have all the burdens because he can handle them, you know. The one who spoke the universe into existence, I reckon he can handle all our burdens, all our problems. He's bigger than all our problems. You say tonight, I've got a lot of problems. Take your problems to him. You can take them to me. You can bring them to me. I'll help you all I can. I'll visit you in your home. I'll talk to you on the phone. Whatever you want me to do, I'll help you because I'm your pastor. I'll do all I can to help you. But best of all, take your problems and your burdens to him. Don't stop at me. Don't stop at your pastor. Go to him. Get to Christ and pour your heart out to him. But then, you know, isn't it wonderful that he can take the burden of sin? Aye, the burden of sin. And for many of us tonight, maybe all of us, I don't know, I can't see every heart. Only you and the Lord knows that. But isn't it wonderful tonight that most or all of us have given the burden of sin to him? And all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah, our sin was laid on him. Now it wasn't in him, sin on him, not in him, because there's no sin in him. And he's without sin, we've emphasized that already. 1 Peter chapter 2, in him was no sin. There's no sin in him, but hallelujah, at the cross, there was sin on him. Our sin was on him. And he bore it all away, like the great scapegoat, into the land uninhabited. Our sins are in the depths of the sea. They're behind his back. They're gone forever. Forgiven, forgotten forever. No wonder we go out into the open air. Ah, there's times we're tired. I get up on Friday morning sometimes and I say, you know, Lord, I'm weary in your work. I'm not weary off it now, but I'm weary in it. But then you think to yourself, what a wonderful gospel. And Lord, if you give me the strength and the grace, I'll go out today again. I'll go back again today. I'll be like Peter and his companions in the ship and throwing out the net, and they'd taken nothing all night. But they went back again. And we're going back again, folks, on Friday. Most of the time, in fact, probably 100% of the time, as far as we can see, we take nothing. No fish in the gospel net. But then I was thinking about that wee verse of scripture today. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now mark that, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. We want to see everything. That's the way the church is, the evangelical church in Ulster and in the West. That's the way it is. You want to see everything. Show us, Lord. We want to see. But then the Lord says, no, actually, whenever you reach home, you'll see then in eternity. Eternity will reveal it. He's the great burden bearer. Have we all given him the burden of our sins? Have you laid it down at his nail-pierced feet? Christian and Pilgrim's Progress did that. One of the greatest books ever written by the old tinker of Bedford, John Bunyan. Let me just read it to you again. I know I've read it before on one or two occasions, but listen to it again. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty, because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, he hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. And then Christian gave three leaps for joy, and went on singing, thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this? Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bind me to it crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Good to be rid of the burden, isn't it? Sure, we sing that wee chorus with the children. Rolled away, rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. The man, let's move to the third point of the diamond now. The lovely Lord Jesus is compared here to a man. The third beast has the face of a man. First beast, the face of a lion. Second beast, face of a calf. Third beast, now the face of a man. If you want a wonderful description of the man Christ Jesus, go to the Gospel of Luke. That beautiful composition written by Dr. Luke. 24 wonderful chapters. It's all about the Son of Man. The beautiful humanity of the Lord Jesus. You know, Luke in his gospel, he goes right back to Adam. You know the list of all the names at the start of the gospel, Luke chapter 3. He traces the ancestry of the Lord Jesus back, not just to Abraham, but right back to Adam. Because he wants to emphasize the humanity of the Savior. That Jesus Christ was really a man. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. What a man he was. Luke takes him back to the first Adam, takes us back to the first Adam. But you know the Lord Jesus is the last Adam, That's what Luke is emphasizing. Luke's emphasizing that even though the first Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, the last Adam conquered and won the victory in the garden where his cross and his sepulchre was. As he died and as he rose again, he won the victory. The last Adam. The man. The greatest man who ever lived. Do you know him? If you do, would you not come and pray with us? Would you not come to a prayer meeting and join with us as we hold the ropes and as we pray, Lord, save the lost. Gather souls into the gospel net, Lord. Gather them into the family of God. Would you not be a witness for him? I know we've all missed our opportunities, haven't we? I lament sometimes, you know, the opportunities you miss even this past week. you know, Amazon delivery man coming to the door and boxes and parcels nearly every day. Deliveries and the postmen and all kinds of people, and people ring you up and from your mobile network, and they're offering a better deal, a new deal to you. So many opportunities to witness. God help us to open our mouths. To speak a word to him that is weary, a word in season. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. The man Christ Jesus. Boy, this is some diamond, isn't it? He's some diamond. The eagle, that's the last description here. And that brings us, as it were, to the fourth point of the diamond. The lovely Lord Jesus is the lion, and he's the calf, and he's the man, but he's also the eagle. You see, these are like pictures. The Lord knows that we're simple, that we're sheep. Isn't it lovely that the Lord feeds us with these simple pictures? The lion, the calf, the man, the eagle. We're not giraffes. As Spurgeon said, keep it low, feed the sheep. Don't keep it up high, we're not giraffes. Just keep it low and keep it simple. And the Lord does that in his word. And here it is, the lion, the calf, the man. What about the eagle? Lord Jesus is compared to the eagle because he swooped down 2,000 years ago, didn't he? The great eagle. The great eagle at God's right hand. Him that liveth forever and ever. But he saw Adam's ruined race. And from the highest pinnacle of heaven, down comes the eagle. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We could go on, but it's all those verses are talking about the great eagle coming down, swooping down to save poor sinners and to put poor sinners on his wings. And to carry them up to heaven. I swooped down 2,000 years ago. The great eagle. And then the great eagle swooped up again. Back into heaven. Up through the clouds. Acts chapter 1. Ye men of Galilee. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manners. You've seen him go. He swooped down to save us. He swooped up again to intercede for us. And he's going to swoop down again someday. Maybe sooner than we think. Because he's got a bride to take home. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. The world says it's never going to happen. 2 Peter 3. In the last days there'll come scoffers and mockers saying, where is the promise of his coming? I tell you, you've got a lot of scoffers and mockers about today. You just come with us out into the open air someday. You see the scoffers and the mockers. But he's coming. On Tuesday night at Lifeliners, we left that little verse with the children, John 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now here it is. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Are you ready? Are you ready for the eagle.